Standing is all right, for otherwise you can sit on the shoulders of. maybe just a little ventilation, but then not all the time, because otherwise we become ice blocks. I do need also one book. If possible, can we get a 7th canto, 15th chapter? There should be that about. Let me please see. So nice to sing together. Really, you were singing quite nicely. Very remarkable. I think the town teaches one the need or necessity to take shelter, isn't it? London gets on one's nerves and then one needs to sit down and and detox the operation of the holy name. My dear devotees, friends, and my dear doubters and skeptics amongst you, I would like to address you today on the subject matter of making kirtan or chanting kirtan with taste. I think it is absolutely clear to all of us, our spiritual practice should nourish us, it should supply us with a taste which is higher than the material distractions which we find, and which gives some tastes like sense gratification and things. If our spiritual practice lacks a taste, and we do it out of duty, or then there is always the temptation of the material life next to us, which somehow supplies us with a greater taste, and we are at that time a little bit in danger. However, if in our spiritual practice we can find a taste which is higher than that which material life offers, we are safe on the spiritual platform. So the chanting of the holy name is the main practice which is recommended in this present time period in which we live, the age of Kali. And we need to see how we can imbue or infuse this practice with so much, let me say, with enough knowledge, so that we can actually get a superior taste, a higher spiritual taste from it, and then move on safely on the spiritual platform. So I would start, like to start with a startling or shocking observation from one of our great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says in this material world there are only two elements which are really alive and which can give us life. That is the jiva, the living entity. Jiva means living. And the holy name of Krishna. All else, and he refers to the endless combination of material elements which build different things, buildings, bodies and so on, are actually dead. This is his quotation. In this world of dull matter, there are only two entities which are full of life. The jiva, living entity, and the holy name. The soul on its own cannot go to Krishna, but Krishna can come down in his most merciful form. It's called a Nam Avatara. Avatara means that which comes from an upper place, or that entity who comes from an upper place and crosses. Tara means to cross over the border and comes into a lower dimension, the material dimension. So Krishna's holy name is able to come from the spiritual world here into the material world. And our task now is to have a meeting with Krishna and the holy name to bring the two together. At that time, when we are able to meet Krishna in this form of the holy name, then although we are covered and influenced by the material energy normally, we come fully alive. We rise to our original spiritual nature. But if the soul only meets know, the jiva only means material things, you know, bodies, material activities, and so on. It does not really come alive. It remains unalive. I remember when I was a child, I used to like the fairy tales of the Brother Grimm. They'd tell fairy tales. And I remember there was this ice queen. She was a cursed princess who would become a queen, and she would touch people with her magical stick, and they would freeze and become dead. This happens when the soul is in the material world and meets Maya, the great empress of the material world, the ruler. It loses its life. The life is there in a let me say, dormant form. I remember this fairy tale of this ice cream was wreaking havoc and touching so many good people. They would all freeze and become transparent, and then it needed one good person who was not influenced who would touch them again, and then they would come to life. A fairy tale. So, but the theme is very basic. It's a very archetypical spiritual theme. When we come in contact with the material energy, we lose our life. And you can see that after a normal London working day. Look in the mirror, then you will know what I mean. But if you are able to meet that one liberated entity, the holy name, and you come in contact with them, actually you become devotionally alive again. And you can also experience this when you sit in a kirtan where you can chant properly. And it is about this point, proper chanting, that I want to talk today. I always I say at the beginning of my lectures that most of you have not chanted this evening. What news? Didn't you hear? There was a good vibration. No, I mean something else. I mean a connected type of chanting which is recommended in the Shastras. To chant in the in a very, very effective way, where you will be very alive, where you will be very spiritually invigorated for a long time, is possible when you know three simple practices which we do. These practices come from the Vedic scriptures, and I want to read to you from the Bhagavatam what they are. Dhanu hitasya pranavam patanti sharantu jivam parameva laksham. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. The Vedic mantra is very cryptic and very difficult language, so you have to now prove a little bit your abilities to understand a difficult text. The Vedic mantra, let us wait. Hare Krishna. The Vedic mantra is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being. This verse is repeated in the Mundaka Upanishad and in one other Upanishad. It's in the Devi Purana. It has a very, very deep message for all those who want to do proper kirtan. It says, just like an arrow is transported by a bow to a faraway goal, In the same way, the living entity can be transported or moved by the power of the mantra to Krishna's lotus feet. I would like to read to you from the purport. Take the arrow of your purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of the Pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, throw yourself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know this is mystical language, and I want to make it very clear that we all, how did I learn in England? You have to speak in such a way, Sachinanda Swami, that people can take what you say in a wheelbarrow and roll it home. So my English educator has to talk me like this. Who of you has any experience of bow shooting? See, she has. You have. Oh, this is a good example of you. Anyone who chants knows he has to apply more or less the same techniques which you need when you use a longbow. Longbow was the, as I heard, the device by Robin Hood. At least in childhood we learned like this. It's a very huge bow. And you, in order to bring the arrow to your goal, you need to do three things. Take aim, make an effort to pull the string, and then let go of the arrow. Then the bow will do the rest. In the same way, when you chant, you must take aim first of all. Then you must make an effort, and then you must let go. And what this means in practical kirtan and japa, I would like to tell you today. But first of all, taking aim. I once had a bow instructor who was very good. He took part in international competitions, and he was able to shoot an arrow over a very long distance, and he always would hit the mark. So I remember in his first lesson, it was known he was really fantastic. He bound his eyes, I never forget this, with a blindfold. He took the bow and he shot the arrow, and the arrow was missing the goal by 2 kilometers. He said, "So how? What did you learn from this?" I said, "I thought in the beginning you would do one of these Japanese samurai things, where blindfolded you would hit the mark, but you." That was not my point, said the instructor. When you don't see the goal, you can't take aim. So when you chant Hare Krishna, this is now me, it's not the bow instructor talking anymore. The first thing is you must take aim. If you chant without any fixation, without any focus, and you just sing, and most of the time there are still so many thoughts and so many moods, you will miss the goal. The first thing when you sit down to chant is you must direct your practice to Lord Krishna. You must throw yourself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as as Prabhupada says. This I see is the singlemost reason why many devotees do not obtain significant realizations when they do kirtan, but just relax in the kirtan. It's a lack of taking aim. How do we take aim? Well, you must be aware. I'm now sitting, for instance, like we did in the beginning. We sit in the temple. What do we do? We glorify Krishna. It's for his pleasure. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which is very, very, very nice for tuning you in or focusing you in a devotional mood. Can I read it to you? Krishna to mala yadi bala eka bada maja banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. It says, one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. So when you sit down to chant either your japa or your kirtan, and you participate in kirtan, please take aim. Don't be blind. Chant with that idea to reach Krishna. Prabhupada says, if by chanting the holy name of the Lord one reaches the Lord's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. So don't chant mindlessly or mechanically. Today in the morning in the Bhaktivedanta Mena, we gave the example of mechanic chanting and compared it with an arati machine. Have you seen in India they have these machines which are powered by electricity, and it's usually red, or I've seen red, and then they have some gongs, and then the bing 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 bing, and then after some time, hokya, arting is finished. This is not devotional service. A machine has no consciousness. It cannot give pleasure. It is some noise which comes from there. Indian noise. So when we chant, we have consciousness. We can aim our practice, align ourselves, and for the pleasure of Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, when you chant, you must do mantrata chintanam. It means you think about the meaning of the mantra. This mantra is a mantra of Radha Krishna. You think, Radha Krishna, please engage me in your service. This is one of the meanings. All the meanings have one. There are many other meanings, but it's always about making a connection with Krishna. Take aim. Turn to Krishna. It is so often the case that when we chant, we turn not to Krishna, but we turn away from Krishna by being inattentive. So the first rule in chanting is take aim. The second rule is make an effort. Just like an archer will have to make the effort to pull the strings pull the string, this some muscular strength. In the same way, you need to make an effort, and this effort has been described by Srila Prabhupada. You have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. This means, my dear devotees, you have to hear yourself one mantra at a time. That's all. At another time, it was His Holiness Jaya Advaita Maharaj who had asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we chant most effective? And Prabhupada answered, just try to listen to yourself chant sincerely. This is very important. When we chant, sometimes, you know, because it's the same mantra which we chant again and again, our mind has a tendency to switch off. In Germany we have this joke that when the husband comes home, the wife needs to tell him all the different news, what the neighbor said and so on, and the husband knows this is a necessity for the wife, so he has the newspaper there, and the wife tells him, do you know how she was dressed today? And he reads a new sports article, you know, this Boris Becker was commenting like this on the art of tennis, and this English competent football hero was shooting this goal in Brazil. And he said, and he offered to just keep his wife satisfied. He goes, and you know this, the price of the sabji has decreased significantly. And then he reads about Donald Trump and the newest. I will not have to be careful. I want to get a visa. continues inattentive listening to his wife. And finally, she gets the idea and pulls up the newspaper. What did I say? You know, very important subjects we discussed. So this is sometimes what we do, because it's usually the similar thing in the evening. This is not about devotee marriage. It's about, you know, it's a joke for karmis. And in the same way, because our mind hears, it switches off. Therefore, you do need to make an effort as you chant. Because the mind has this habit, whenever it hears something similar and so on, it just switches off. It is it's not nice if it does this towards Krishna. It's also not nice if it, I don't want to comment on this what I told about the household affairs. I also think what lines of communication must be there, but especially it's not good when we are with Krishna. We have to continue to listen to ourselves chant sincerely. It's very important. You have to hear your sound, not the sound of the others, not the sound of the group when you do kirtan, but you have to hear your own chanting, because it's your own offering to Krishna. It's your own. You enter into the space of the holy name, and you can't do this if you are not present, if you are disconnected. So this is the effort, no? You have to chant and hear. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. Prabhupada is very direct and very, it's very clear. And the third effort, or third rule, is let go. With this let go, we mean something like surrender. When you chant, you have to ultimately let go of everything else and just surrender to Krishna. It's a little bit like the arrow. You have the archer has taken aim, he has made an effort to pull the string, now he has to let go. In the same way, the chanter has focused his attention on Krishna. You can do this also by chanting before the deities or by chanting before pictures of Radha and Krishna. Take aim. Then you have made the effort to concentrate on the sound. Now you have to surrender so that you can fly. And then let the holy name act. I would like to tell you of an experience which I personally had this past weekend. I was invited to take part in a kirtan event in Belgium, in Radadesh. And I was very tired, actually. I had slept the night before only for 3 hours, and I wanted to just come there into the kirtan hall with the devotees, and then I was nodding off a little, and then I wanted to go, but then the devotee said, "It's your turn now." and I said, "How long do we chant?" I asked all this young gentleman who is my musical teacher and everything. And he said, 1.5 hours. That's a century. And you know, when you're tired and you want to sleep and you're hungry. So I noted, I said, how do I survive this? I won't be able to concentrate. I've headaches. But then I remembered this. I said, let me take aim. I'm now chanting for Krishna. It's for him. With the devotees of the Lord. Let me focus on each mantra. I'm not thinking of 1.5 hours. I'm thinking of one Hare Krishna mantra at a time. And then I surrender myself to the activity. And my dear devotees, I felt after some time that I had entered a transcendental airplane, a vimana, which transported me now from the material to the spiritual platform. And I felt very blissful. I thought, after 1.5 hours, I've not even started. Why is already, there must be a problem in my wristwatch. It is little elderly, the wristwatch, it maybe has gone very fast now. And I checked with another wristwatch, and no, 1.5 hours had passed because I had done these things. There is a question which I want to ask you. Whose prayer does Krishna hear? Should I say it again? Whose prayers does Krishna hear? Or in simple English, the prayer of what person? In Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked this question, and he says, he asked, whose prayer does Krishna, the son of Nanda, hear? Then he answers it, the prayer of one who submits unconditionally to the sixfold path of surrender. Sri Nanda Kumar Krishna hears the prayers of those persons. You need to surrender. Otherwise, if it's not a real, if you don't really mean it, if you don't put your heart where you put your words, then the Lord doesn't hear it. But he is only a prayer away, a sincere prayer away, when you really turn to him without any deception, without any pretense, you really turn to him. Krishna is immediately responsive to such a prayer of a surrendered devotee. Immediately. Really, and in this sense, he's only a prayer away. So, when you chant, this is also necessary. You must surrender. Let go. Here I am, I'm yours. I'm doing this for your pleasure. Let go of any other plan, agendas, and so on. You are now there for Krishna. It's your personal time with God. So, these are the three practices. Can we please repeat? What was the first practice, please?
Aim.
Thank you. The second practice, please.
Make an effort.
Yes, and the third, please. Thank you very much. You are very attentive. Thank you. I would like to give you now an example of what we have discussed from Mahabharata, which is here in the purport of Prabhupada. Another example given in this regard, you know, take the mantra yourself and throw yourself to the lotus feet of the Lord. The example given in this regard is that of Arjuna. As a result of piercing the Adhara Mina, or the fish in the chakra, he achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. What was that? Well, it was a very, very nice, actually, story. I told this in the Radhadesh, in Mahabharata. I think you have heard of the constant strife and quarrel between the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, the Kauravas, and the 5 Pandavas. They were constantly at loggerhead with each other. And there was so much hatred by Duryodhana, the leader of the Kauravas. Especially, he disliked the very strong Bhimsen. Bhimsen would wrestle with all the 100 at once, and he would take these boys and, you know, take their heads and bring them together like gongs, bang, 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 which is extremely painful. Finally, the Kauravas could not tolerate these constant problems from the Pandava princes, who excelled them in everything they did, that they made a conspiracy, and they built a palace made of highly... Here the English word is missing me. Incinerable? highly inflammable. Lack. They built a whole palace and invited the Pandavas and with their mother. Said, this is for you. It looked really nice. And then when they were asleep, they set fire in the night to this palace of Lek. In the morning, there were 6 corpses, and they celebrated behind their false tears. Ooh, we lost the part of us. There was great joy. Thank you. And now a little later there was the Svayamvara of the best woman, Draupadi, who was born from the fire. A huge arena had been built by her father Draupad, a task had been set. Any prince who would be able to shoot a wooden fish would gain the hand of the princess in marriage. But this was not an easy task. It was set up like this. You have to concentrate a little. I can only tell at one time. The wooden fish was fixed 20 meters above the ground. It was, however, not easily visible because there was a revolving wheel protecting the wooden fish. It had very narrow spikes, you know, and the archer would have to shoot through the space between the spikes to shoot the fish. But that was not all. He couldn't take aim directly like this. He had to take aim by looking at a basin or a bowl of water which was shaking. And then he would have to hold the bow like this and then shoot in the time when the, you know, when there was this open space between two spikes, and then get the wooden arrow. I've never heard any bowman doing such a feat. It was really for specialists in the art of archery. But that was not all. The bow was a divine astra, and it was very difficult to string the bow. So one after the other, the best princes and the kings of the world came and tried it. And some were not even able to string the bow. The bow snapped and hurled them down from the platform. And then they were sneered upon by the rest of the arena, and their pride trampled upon. They went back to their seats. So one after the other they tried. Then at one stage Duryodhana rose, the prince, and Draupadi started to shake like anything, because she wanted to marry only Arjuna and not Duryodhana. Duryodhana went there. He was able to string the bow, but then he missed the mark by a centimeter, so it started to curse the whole arena. This is impossible. Why make such an impossible task? Then the next one was Karna, and the whole arena fell silent because Karna was next to Arjuna, the best bowman in the universe. He was very capable. So Karna went, and first he went around the platform to inspect the goal. No one else had done it. And Draupadi began to shake. And Karna strode up the platform. He effortlessly strung the bow. At this moment, Krishna, who was in the arena together with Balaram, he said to Balaram, "This cannot happen." He closed his eyes, and in his mind he communicated with Draupadi, after all the inborn super soul, and Draupadi understood, and she yelled out, "I will not marry a suitor." Means a charioteer, which is something like a sutra. And Karna, who was just going to release the arrow, became pale. He could not even shoot the arrow because he was not forbidden to participate. He was not allowed to participate in the contest. But this moment, a handsome Brahmin who had unusually broad shoulders, Hare Krishna, stroll through the arena. The Kshatriya said, what does the Brahmana want to do? And the Brahmana asked the other Brahmanas, is it allowed that a Brahmana takes part in the contest? Can a Brahmana marry a Kshatriya? The Brahmana said, of course, that's possible. As this Brahmana bent close to the bow, Draupadi's left side started to twitch. Is it the left side?
Vimbiman,
for auspiciousness. And Krishna leaned over to Balaram and said, that's him. That's him. Balaram smiled. So the young Brahmana, with this unusual broad shoulders, and there was the mark of bowstrings. He was used to carry bows, apparently. Brahmana went. He paid his obeisances first to the bow. No one had done this. Then he made a pradakshina, a circumambulation around. Then he took the bow and in one flowing movement strung the bow, put on the arrow, shoot. It was just one movement with lightning speed and bang, the wooden fish tumbled down, bang, 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 and fell with a loud crash on the wooden platform, and all the Brahmanas went, yoo-hoo! Their upper garland. Our man has done it. Little did they know who this was. The Kshatriyas became very, very enraged. How is it possible? A weak-minded or weak Brahmana has won the contest, and they sprang into arms and started to and ran towards Arjuna. But at this moment, another Brahmana, who was unusually tall, ran, uprooted a huge tree, and took the tree and boom, banged it on 10 Kshatriyas, who all were flattened. Can you imagine who these were? Arjuna and Bhima Sena, yes, you know everything. So Draupadi immediately took the garland, went towards the handsome Brahmin and garlanded him. And before any violence broke out in the arena, I mean, this was just a little Kshatriya thing, the five Pandavas who had escaped the wooden the palace of Lek led Draupadi out. So similarly, you know, Arjuna, by piercing the Adharamina, the wooden fish, within the chakra, achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. When you chant, it's not that you will get a spouse or a partner. That's not the idea. But clarifies it similarly. If the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one reaches the Lord's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. That's a benefit. That's a great gain. So I want to now see if you have understood the message of this lecture. My dear devotees, this is now a serious reminder. We must attain taste in our devotional practices. It is so important. Otherwise, we will never be able to escape the clutches of Maya. The material energy, with all its varieties of tastes, you know, in anything, entertainment, food, sense, all types of sense gratification, will just keep us in the grip, and we will not make significant advancement in Krishna consciousness. We need a higher taste to give up the lower. And this can only happen if our chanting is a connected chanting, and we, while we chant, we are in contact, we make contact with Krishna. For this, there are three simple advices. The first, I think you know, take aim. What does this mean? You focus on Krishna, no? You do this for Krishna. You can take a lot of deities, sit before deities. You can do many things, say a prayer and so on. The next is
effort.
Make an effort. What is the effort when we chant? You hear yourself properly chanting. Very nice. That means you need to concentrate. The chanting cannot be like a Arctic machine, you know, where there is no concentration. Then the last item,
let go.
Let go or surrender. Yes? Surrender yourself. Then Krishna will hear your prayers or your chanting, and it will be very nice, and you will get the gain of going back home, back to Godhead. How does this sound? Isn't it very practical?
Yes.
Now, my suggestion is that we do now a kirtan and apply the three practices. Would you like this? It should not just be theory, or we heard the lecture now, okay. Erase it. What was the lecture about? Well, Maharaj talked about Krishna consciousness. many times, you all, when you leave the temple, you have an erase button. Everything is gone. No, this time not. No erase button this time. So we will make an effort. We have learned a melody, which I think we can maybe find that. It is a melody. I really, really need your full surrender in this. It's a little, it's an intense melody. See if you have. Is it clear for you what you will do now?
Yes.
You will now first take aim. I hear Lord Krishna. For so many long years in this material world, we have completely forgotten you. But today, in this London temple, we will try to turn in the association of these wonderful devotees and friends of Lord Krishna. Try to